You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Steve Chiatakis. If you listen to KCRW, chances are your radio diet not only consists of news and information, but also a ton of music as well.
Hooray for Hollywood!
Yeah, Morrissey, hooray for the Bowl, or the Fabulous Forum, or the Fonda, the El Rey. Name your favorite place where live music envelops you. Remember live music? The bass in your chest, the smell of sweat, stale cigarettes, spilled beer, that tall guy or gal in front of you blocking the view. I bet you even remember the last show you saw. I bet you didn't realize it would be your last show for a while. Music venues across Southern California recognized a somber anniversary this month. It's been a full year since a live band in front of a live audience graced their stages. But there is hope. Little by little, a sprinkling of show dates are beginning to dot the 2021 calendar. And we're joined by a couple of folks responsible for bringing that live music back. Gallo Galvan is director at the Fox Theater in Pomona. Hey, Gallo.
How you doing today?
All right. And Owen Smith is the owner, operator, and booker over at The Miracle in Inglewood. Owen, jack of all trades, aren't you?
That's what it takes these days. Thanks for taking the time, Steve.
No, thank you. Owen, I want to start with you. What was the last show at The Miracle that you had?
Last show at The Miracle was early March, and that was a comedy show with Ray Grady. Live band, a slew of comics, and then Ray Grady took the stage, and that was right after Cy Smith had a live show. So that was the concert. So we do a little bit of everything around here.
Well, explain that. So you do obviously a live venue for music and comedy shows. Your theater as well, though, right?
Built in 1937 and opened as a single screen movie theater in downtown Inglewood. At the time, there were a number of different theaters. And this was the kind of second run theater. At one point in the 70s, it was actually a Pussycat theater, one of maybe 40 of them in California. Mm-hmm. And then the church came in, they named it The Miracle, and they put in a stage and they were doing gospel plays right here in Inglewood. And then it sat empty for 20 years. And we came in here and reimagined it as a cultural event theater.
Did you know that last show, that comedy show, was going to be your last one for a while?
Oh, no, not at all. And I remember one of the promoters saying, "Oh yeah, it's going to blow over in 2 weeks." You know, like,
yeah, we all thought 2 weeks, didn't we?
Yeah, two weeks.
We could just get through the next couple of weeks. Yeah, Gallo, what was the last show in front of your audience over at the Fox in Pomona?
That was on March 7th with Shoshana Bean. Sold out show.
So the Fox, Gallo, I would imagine you guys went virtual like so many other places did. But now we're seeing maybe that light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yep.
Are you starting to book live acts again? Do you see that light? Are you pushing yourself toward that light?
We definitely see the light. And we're reviewing on the how rather than when. So we are reaching out to artists and going through different scenarios, you know, different capacities, whatever they may be, always staying informed and really ready for anything.
What talent are you booking? I mean, mostly local acts?
We just had, for example, we had, I don't know if I can say this, but we had some pretty big artists recording a music video, and Annalie Choppa were in talks of doing a live stream with him. And then we have a lot of local talent that we've been reaching out to. Some bands that we worked with in the past, just because in the Fox Theater, you see these small bands play our rooftop for 120 people, and then they're playing the main hall, then they're playing stadiums. So we're concentrating on all genres at the local level in Southern California.
You mentioned that Fox has a rooftop. Do you think your first in-person shows are going to be outside up there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where we're going to bring in maybe 40 people and do something really exclusive, and also have it available online.
Owen, what about you? So you're this multi-purpose venue. You've got, you know, a theater screen. You've got, you know, you're doing a lot of different kinds of acts, or you want to anyway. What about you going into the future? You opening up? Do you see that light?
Definitely. We're six blocks from the Forum, and we're a half a mile from SoFi Stadium. So I've been watching their calendar, and actually the Forum has something on the calendar. I agree with Gallo about the outdoor and also the local talent. Here in Inglewood, we're blessed with amazing local talent. We did some live stream events. We called it Inglewood's Own, and it was some artists that were outside. They had been doing it. This was in the early summer of last year. They were doing a live stream from their front door, and people would sit socially distanced. It was like family and neighbors, right? So we brought that to our outdoor space behind the theater. So yeah, we're watching kind of what, I mean, that's really what it is. It's looking for clarity and guidance from the city of LA and the state of California.
We just had this $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill signed by President Biden. That also includes money specifically earmarked for live venues like yours. Are you optimistic, Owen, that that's going to help you keep going even if you're unable to open quickly?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This has been an exercise in understanding how politics and the details of bills affect our society and my life directly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Gallo, I know some countries that are, you know, I mean, they're requiring vaccination cards, you know, like proof of vaccination before you can go to an event like a concert. Israel is an example of that. Do you see a world where someone going to the Fox will have to show some sort of card or a passport to get inside?
I don't think so. I mean, what we've done is basically adopted SAG guidelines for filming. So we've been following those rules, and moving forward, we'll continue to do so and continue to keep everybody, you know, comfortable on all levels. You know, we're kind of going through all scenarios, even with movies, on giving it maybe an hour break and disinfecting. And whether there's going to be eating at the seats, you know, just going through everything. But I don't think requiring vaccination, like a passport, which is being discussed, but definitely we'll be doing temperature checks still.
What about you, Owen? Proof of vaccination or no?
No, I agree with Gallo. The temperature check, I think that's important. But vaccination cards, again, we'll see what the officials at the city and state levels have to say. I mean, that's really where we've been for the past year. It's like, tell us when to open, tell us how to open. When it comes to the public safety, that's number one.
Yeah, keeping the guest comfortable is so important. I mean, it's we've had weddings, you know, with, 60 people and streamed it to thousands and, you know, use the marquee as an revenue income. So it's caused us to be very creative in everything we do. But we've had, you know, some busy months and then some really dead months in the past year.
Gallo Galvan, who books shows over at the Fox Theater in Pomona. Owen Smith, owner and operator over at the Miracle in Inglewood. Thanks to you both.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Pleasure speaking.
Yeah, we're all hoping to see music venues open again soon, and no one more than the musicians themselves and the people who work behind the scenes. Like the band No Age. They had an album about to drop and a tour that was getting set up when everything came to a grinding halt last year. Well, a virtual version of South by Southwest, that's the huge music and tech festival in Austin, Texas, went live yesterday. And No Age's Randy Randall will be performing sets of his new solo music there. But virtual concerts aren't going to help behind-the-scenes folks like Shelley Lynn Brandler. She had a thriving business catering big music events like Coachella and the Hollywood Bowl. KCRW's Andrea Dominic spoke to both of them recently about how the pandemic has affected them and how they see the future. And she joins us right now. Andrea, welcome to you.
Hey, Steve. Good to be here.
Yeah, we just, you may have heard this. We talked to a couple of guys that run music venues, the Fox and in Pomona, and also the Miracle over in Inglewood. They are hoping to open up as soon as they can. We know musicians have been really hit hard by this pandemic, but I think a lot of us forget about the other folks, you know, the people who were supporting the musicians and those venues and work behind the scenes, like Shelley Lynn Brandler. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, Shelley Lynn Brandler is a caterer. She owns a company called Tada Catering that for over a decade now has been specializing in, the way she puts it, is feeding rock stars. And that means catering events like Coachella, both weekends of Coachella, Stagecoach, the Greek Theater, Hollywood Bowl, Staples Center, any, you know, large musical gathering that involves talent and crew. You can almost certainly count on Shelley Lynn and Tada Catering being there. And she had a thriving business, and it was a boon for seasonal workers that would come through. And I mean, there's so many folks that make these big stage shows happen. You think there's a lot of people in the audience. Just imagine how many folks are making that whole show run backstage. Of course, everything came crashing down about a year ago, right as she was gearing up for the very, very busy festival season, which would kicked off March, April with Coachella and Stagecoach and head right into the summer season at the Hollywood Bowl and other venues.
It was like a dominoes effect, right? You know, we were just catering Tame the Impala and Coachella canceled that night of the last night. And it was like the Strokes called and their show was like within 24 hours or 48 hours or something. And they canceled and it all started then.
You know, Shelley Lynn Brandler, Andrea, she had such a big catering business going. So, I mean, was she eligible for federal help for PPP loans and other business support during the pandemic?
Well, see, this is really interesting because I think her company, like a lot of companies that might involve behind the scenes work in the live events industry, ended up falling through the cracks of a lot of different federal and more unofficial aid programs. In the case of the PPP loan, well, because so much of the work that Shelley Lynn's company does is seasonal, they actually outsource their payroll to another company, meaning that when time came around to be able to file for a PPP loan, they technically had no employees because those employees technically belong to that outsource company. And then there were lots of grants and other forms of aid available through Music Cares and other music-related foundations, but the majority of those were going to help brick-and-mortar businesses. This is a company that had, you know, a catering truck at best, but they were going from event to event. They didn't have any kind of storefront. When I first initially spoke to her at the beginning of the pandemic, she was in a situation where she was actually able to help support some of her staff by, you know, helping provide a little bit of extra money while they were waiting for unemployment to come through. And the success of her business had provided her with a nice amount of savings. Well, flash forward a year later.
I'm into vintage old cars, and I've had a vintage 1964 Ford Galaxy 500, a special edition, for 17 years. And I was literally buying a for sale sign, trying to sell it so I could survive, just like live another month, survive another month without going under and losing everything I've worked for.
Luckily for Shelley Lynn, it didn't have to come to that because she has been such a go-to in this industry for so long. Musicians, everyone from Eddie Vedder to companies like Vans, she helps cater their Warped Tour, have stepped in and very generously been able to help support her. Of course, you know, this is a case-by-case thing, and not everybody in the music industry has been able to have that kind of luck. And that only lasts so long, and so it's difficult to say, you know, just how much longer, you know, businesses like her can continue to sit on their hands, cross their fingers, and remain hopeful that come the fall, we'll be back in business.
Yeah, so many people helping people during the pandemic, Andrea, and I know you spoke with Randy Randall. His band No Age had, you know, an album that he was about to drop and a tour that was going to go along with that. And you know, we know what happened over the course of the following year. How does he see the future? I mean, is it just going to go back to business as usual?
That's the hope. It's a really uncertain road ahead. You know, the music industry as a whole, particularly the live events aspect, is, you know, they were the first to close. They're going to be the last to open. And there's so many moving parts. Of course, the live events industry is the bread and butter of all of the workers and all of the musicians. I mean, there's very little revenue that's actually coming from streaming or album sales these days. You know, but Randy remains optimistic because, you know, people are, there's a little bit of a roaring 20s mentality. I mean, people are going to want to, you know, come back out and go out and have these experiences together that, you know, can't be replicated from any kind of virtual event, no matter how good they can be. And also just what I've been hearing from my own reporting is that actually there's a lot of excellent new music that has been created in this time. And essentially because of this reliance on, you know, the live touring cycle for, you know, industry success, people are just waiting till they can tour behind this new music. And there's just very well maybe a flood of it.
From the musician side, I know everyone's kind of just been stewing and it was a big reset button. I think there's probably 80 to 500,000 albums that are all going to drop as soon as we get the sense that touring can happen. I think there's like a explosion of music that's going to all come out once the repercussions of this thing, I think, are going to be interesting.
for sure. I mentioned that Randy Randall's appearing solo at Virtual South by Southwest. His solo music sounds a little different than the band No Age. I want to go out on a piece that he does solo. This is called Shore Sunset Part 1. Andrea Dominic, new digital producer of music and culture here at KCRW. Andrea, thanks for telling these stories. We appreciate it. By the way, you can find those stories online too, right?
You sure can. I'll actually be doing a series this week profiling everyone from Randy to Shelley Lynn to a couple other folks in the live music space that's tagged to the one-year anniversary since South by Southwest was canceled.
All at KCRW.com. Andrea, thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Always good to be here.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. In the past year, museums have sat mostly empty. Exhibitions inside those museums have sat mainly unseen by people in person. Well, the LA County Museum of Art, or LACMA, to name just one, has lost millions of dollars during that time. Those dollars, by the way, helping to maintain collections and pay their staff and, well, help art in the community thrive. As of Monday, LACMA got the okay to open for indoor visits as COVID case numbers continue to be on the decline. And LACMA is among a handful of museums that you can soon enjoy inside, masked and distanced, of course. Our art insider, Lindsay Preston-Zappas, is editor-in-chief of Contemporary Art Review Los Angeles. She's here to run down the openings, or the reopenings, as it were, and what you will actually be able to see when you go inside. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, Steve. Museums are back open.
Yeah, I mean, I want to knock on some wood, right? Because obviously, you know, we don't know what's going to happen down the road, but we're hoping this is a better world, or at least a more open world. LACMA announcing that they're gonna open to a modified capacity inside, 25% starting of the 1st of April. That is obviously just a couple of weeks away, but there's art inside those galleries. It's already up, ready for people to see. I mean, will you have to make an appointment to go? How's all this going to work?
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of details, as you can imagine, that kind of need to be rearranged and reorganized. And this is such an exciting moment. LA has really been waiting for this go-ahead. San Francisco was able to reopen museums earlier this month. So LA art institutions have been very patient and also very frustrated as we've, you know, kind of waited to go back into this red tier that actually allows for museums to now reopen. So LACMA is one of the first that I've seen to really announce a specific date and to roll out a very specific protocol of how they're going to be doing this. So they'll be using advanced time entry online tickets. So you have to order your ticket ahead of time. You can't just show up to LACMA and buy a ticket on site. You have to order online by using the internet or by calling. And I read that tickets will be released in batches. So it'll be sort of 1 week at a time. And the first tickets go live on March 25th. So, and then once you arrive to LACMA, you'll do an online health screening and also a temperature check. And, you know, there's so many other protocols that they've listed as well. So they were clearly ready for this, clearly waiting for this moment and waiting for the county to kind of give the green light. And yeah, they're ready to go with a plan.
I mean, LACMA and other museums and galleries, too, I would imagine. So what others in LA are following suit? I mean, do they have plans to open as well? I'm thinking of MoCA and all these other places.
Exactly. So all museums can now reopen. You know, it's just a matter of following these certain protocols. So I reached out to a handful of museums in LA, and some of them weren't quite ready to announce a plan yet, unlike, you know, LACMA that had a very clear directive ready to go. But others are actually already open, like the ICA LA I emailed with, and they're already taking appointments on their website. The Hammer hopes to reopen in mid-April, which means that Made in LA, the Hammer's biennial of local LA artists that's been up for a large portion of this year, will finally be visible to the public. So that's a really huge moment for the Hammer and also the artists who weren't really sure if anyone would even be able to see this exhibition at all.
You mentioned Made in LA, which is obviously a big show, Lindsay. So while folks might be able to check it out in person in about a month or so, can you see any of it right now?
Yeah, so actually Hammer just announced some free virtual online tours that you can reserve on their website. You know, as museums and even galleries have really switched to a lot of online programming to find a way to engage the public throughout this year, it's really interesting that some are going to continue to do that as we go forward, even with these reopenings. So these virtual tours that Hammer is offering is for groups of 10 or more. So I guess you'd have to assemble 10 friends or 10 colleagues. And the tour would be led by a student educator from UCLA. And then each tour would focus on three artists in the exhibition, and they are open to kind of catering that to your group's specific interest. So it's a really cool way to kind of get a sneak peek and more context around the exhibition. And then once the museum reopens in a few weeks, they're going to start to offer public online group tours. So you wouldn't have to assemble those 10 friends. You could just attend as a single person without needing a group. But I think it's really interesting that Hammer is considering this alongside their reopening plans. And I think we're going to continue to see these kinds of hybrid models that mix online and in-person programming.
All right, so we talk about the logistics of how people are going to see things inside galleries and museums. As far as Made in LA goes, is there anybody, like, what kind of art will you see once you go inside?
So it's not only at the Hammer, remember, it's also at the Huntington. So it's kind of a dual exhibition at those two locations. Specifically, I'm thinking about certain pieces that you really have to see in person. There's a handful of sound works and installation pieces in the show that really don't translate to Zoom. I don't really know how that would work. So for instance, Jacqueline Kiyomi-Gork has a sound installation on the Hammer's foyer, and it consists of these kind of round plexiglass rooms that use various materials like wool and felt and plastic to kind of modulate sound as you walk through this space. So the sound is really activating and changing around you. And then at the Huntington, Sabrina Tarasoff's installation, you would love it, Steve. It's literally a haunted house. So as you walk through various rooms, there's videos and lighting and sculptures and sounds that all kind of animate as you walk through. And that work also includes other artwork from artists like Benjamin Weissman and Jim Shaw. So luckily, everyone can now experience this stuff that, you know, not everything translates well to a photo or a website or a Zoom conference. So it's really cool that we now have a chance to actually experience some of this in person again.
It's really exciting. Again, we have to underscore that it's just a fraction of capacity, 25%, and you still have to be extra, extra safe when you go in and check these places out once you do get inside.
Exactly.
All right. Lindsay Preston Zappas, our art insider, editor in chief of Carla. Lindsay, as always, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, we are out of time. Thanks for attending our show today. Tomorrow, can a small new project in South Los Angeles spell the beginning of an easier and cheaper way to shelter the unhoused? You'll hear from KCRW's Anna Scott, who covers housing and homelessness for us. You can find us at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Check out the stories you may have missed on this program. Get it delivered to you every time we drop the show, kcrw.com/greaterLA. And tell us how you're doing, too. Here's a question. If you've gotten fully vaccinated, both shots, right? How has your world changed for you? Are you doing anything differently? Let us know at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Jenna Cagle, Catherine Barnes, Sonia Geis, PJ Shahamat, Ray Guarna, Mario Saavedra, Amy Ta, Phil Richards, Sue Margulies, and Christian Bordahl all had hands on the show this evening. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great night.